The rig was just fully engulfed, flames about 300 feet in the air, and there are a couple lifeboats on fire.
There is no goo, Mr. Cruz. You see, I learned something today.
I was just thankful my mother couldn't hear this.
I go to chemotherapy every 3 weeks, and I'll have to be going for the next year.
And I think this thing is preordained.
So many of these people are so poor, and they are so black.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we take you through the looking glass. All right, Naomi Campbell and the Blood Diamond. What is that? What, you know, what's that about, right? We already heard from Bud Dickman, who bought his girlfriend Vivian. What'd you buy her?
I got her. What do you mean? I got her the sapphire and everything.
Yeah, well, I thought, and also, can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead.
I thought it was racist.
What? Yeah, why?
Because that you said you got a sapphire, but you went sapphire like that.
No, I didn't.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
You said I went out and got Vivian sapphire, you know, like that.
And how can I be racist on account I got a black girlfriend?
Well, you say you don't like black people. Look, I'm starting the hour, all right? I don't want to, you know.
If I don't like black people, I work with Robert, don't I?
Yeah, but you like me.
Yeah.
Bud, shut up.
He said.
Shut up. Both of you guys. What do you mean it was racist because he said he got Vivian a sapphire?
That's what the way he said it.
Well, he's an idiot, all right? And so are you, and just be quiet. Now, 877, I'm starting an hour here, okay? I'm starting an hour of radio. I got to get the audience up to speed here. Do you mind terribly?
No.
God. Right out of the gate, man. I'm into my first 15 minutes, you know? Boom. Here we go. This is where you got to grab the audience, right? Boom. And there you guys are with Sapphire.
I'll tell you, it was racist.
Oh, look it, man.
Yeah, we ain't racist.
That's what you say.
I'm sure he didn't mean it that way, okay? You think he's talking? You mean he said sapphire, like he's like in some I don't know what you call it, like one of them blackface movies?
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL, I don't think so. All right, now, allegations that fashion model Naomi Campbell was given a blood diamond by that deposed African despot, Charles Taylor, have become center stage at Taylor's trial for crimes against humanity and led to another one of Campbell's infamous outbursts of air. This is the Phil Henry Show, and don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Now then, Charles Taylor was a man who led Liberia. Liberia is a nation in Africa that was settled, at least in part, by American slaves. Why was that? Because there was a time here in the history of this country, notably the 19th century, where one of the solutions to the so-called race problem, or the problem of slavery, as it was known back then, it wasn't called a race problem, it wasn't called a civil rights problem, it was called a slavery problem, was to relocate American blacks or American slaves to Africa. And not a lot took up the option. Some did, though. Frederick Douglass was not one of them. Frederick, you know who Frederick Douglass was. Frederick Douglass became friends with Abraham Lincoln. And it was a friendship that was a real friendship, but it started out kind of in an interesting way. Lincoln was kind of stupid. And Lincoln was a white man, and he was president, and he was trying to figure out, you know, this is a tough problem. So Lincoln says to Douglass at the beginning of his presidency, or when he got to know Frederick Douglass, wasn't at the beginning, what do you think about colonizing Africa? And Douglass said to him the now very famous quote, he said, you might as well turn back the waters of Niagara Falls as to try to get us to go to Africa. He said, we are Americans. We were born here. You might as well try to turn the rapids of Niagara Falls back on itself, he said. And that was the end of that. And Lincoln understood. And, you know, it was like a lot of people. He came slowly into his education of humanity and what the slave, American represented to this country.
Knee.
Hey, bud, I'm going to haul off and belt you.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Example of, okay? So how did we get to Liberia? So a few black people said, let's go down there, let's do the do, and the funky chicken too, and they did. And what did you have? You didn't have just a bunch of black people living together. You had Americans and Africans trying to live together. And the Americans were down there saying, okay, let's get this mess cleared up, right?
Yeah, they all went in and tried to tell them what was up.
Exactly. So the freed slaves, the Americans go in and go, oh, you got to be kidding. You call this a country? We're going to start kicking some ass and taking some names. You, sweep up. You, over there, get me a drink. You. And they began a life where there was a stratification. The upper class, the ruling class, were these descendants of the American slaves, and the underclass, the working class, the servant class, were the indigenous African people. And that's the way it has been since the idea and the actual practice of colonization has taken place. Everywhere you go, man. You know, when we went down to Fiji, it was a trip. Because Fiji, get a load of this, Fiji's got Indians. Not that kind, bud, okay?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, not that kind. Fiji has Indians from India, and then they have Fijians. Well, do you think they get along? Do you think that they, oh, no, get along? Forget it, man. They hate each other's guts. And the Indian Fijians have been a sort of ruling class in a lot of ways, and the indigenous Fijian people have been the underclass. And they had a military coup down there, I'm thinking about 20 years ago, maybe a little bit sooner, you know, recent. And it was really at the very heart of it was this long-standing rancor between indigenous native Fijians and the Indians. And on it goes. You point to a place that's been colonized, and you'll find that. Now we have Liberia, and now we have this guy Charles Taylor. Charles Taylor was the leader of Liberia. Charles Taylor, the descendant of American slaves that colonized Liberia. And Charles Taylor, a despot, as in a dictator, as in a murderous, thuggish dictator. And he is now on trial for crimes against humanity. That's a hell of a great friend to have there, Ms. Campbell, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty bad, but he did give her a diamond and everything.
Yeah, at least he didn't give her a sapphire.
Cut out!
Taylor took power via a military coup, by the way, in 1989. As to what was taking place, transpiring in Liberia prior to that, I don't know. But military coup generally bespeaks the usurpation of, you know, constitutional process. Like maybe they had a way of doing things in Liberia, and Taylor just went, screw that. And he walked in with a pistol in his belt and a bandolera across his chest and a big, fat, stinky Roitan in his teeth. And he said, what it is, and sat down, and that was the end of that. Now then, allegations that fashion model Naomi Campbell was given a blood diamond by the deposed African despot Charles Taylor have become center stage at Taylor's trials for crimes against humanity and led to another one of Campbell's infamous outbursts of anger. I didn't receive a diamond. I'm not going to speak about that, Campbell told ABC News before walking out of an interview and punching the camera in a producer's hand when pressed on the details. Now, a blood diamond is a diamond that has been extracted or mined from a diamond mine in Africa, where oftentimes slave labor, indentured servitude-type labor, or laborers who have suffered terribly traumatic injuries in pulling these diamonds out of the rocks have worked. Amputations, crippling, death, and much, much worse has been the rule of the day in these diamond mines in Africa. And so the blood diamond is a diamond extracted from one of these basically torture chambers, concentration camp, that is used so people can get their diamonds. Now, of course, I don't want to get too heavy here, man, but if you've got a guy on trial for being a despot, I guess it doesn't have anything to do with the diamonds, but if they ever do have to do with the diamonds, I guess somebody who runs a diamond company here or there, they're going to have their ass in a hot seat. Nonetheless, here is Naomi Campbell now and that famous outburst that we were just now that they're talking about there.
We received a diamond from Charles.
I didn't receive a diamond, and I'm not going to speak about that. Thank you very much. And I'm not here for that.
Did you have dinner, though, with Charles Taylor?
I had dinner with Nelson Mandela. Thank you very much.
And did his men bring you a diamond? A diamond in the rough, sort of a large diamond?
No, we're not answering these questions.
Well, we've been told that you didn't help the prosecution sort of in this very important case.
Sorry.
Thank you so much.
Sorry.
Goodbye.
Sorry. Let's get up.
We've been told. I got a... Woo! Yeah!
God, she slugged her.
Well, she hit the camera, knocked it out of her hand. Hey, ABC, here's a good idea for you. You know, this is a crime, the war crimes trial, a crimes against humanity's trial being conducted in The Hague. I'm sure you got reporters somewhere around there that might be able to tell you what exactly is going on in the trial, and this we've been told that you haven't been, and this other hearsay horse dung. However, Naomi Campbell said that she was having dinner with Nelson Mandela, and she was also at that dinner was Mia Farrow, the famous actress. Campbell would not answer questions about, as you just heard, her alleged refusal to cooperate with the International Criminal Tribunal. Her London-based lawyer also declined to comment. Taylor's accused of orchestrating bloody measures in which thousands were killed or maimed by amputation, leading to the phrase, blood diamonds. Aha! The diamonds made possible the continuation of the conflict, but they also profoundly profited Charles Taylor, said former Chief Prosecutor Stephen Rapp, who's now the United States Ambassador at Large for War Crimes. So, that's an ugly charge, because if this guy is convicted in this criminal prosecution, an international crimes against humanity prosecution, and his girlfriend, this Naomi Eva Braun Campbell, yeah.
Oh, come on, man. You can't hang that on her.
No, but I mean, if Ms. Campbell is all that, and a slaughtered mink to boot, maybe she ought to know where these diamonds are coming from that she's getting. Now, I recognize that ABC News, because black people all look the same to them, that Charles Taylor, Nelson Mandela, what the hell's the difference? But Mia Farrow was also questioned by prosecutors. Campbell's alleged receipt of a blood diamond first surfaced after Mia Farrow, the actress, told prosecutors she heard Campbell describe a huge diamond she'd received from Taylor. Farrow told ABC News, quote, "You don't forget when a girlfriend tells you she was given a huge diamond in the middle of the night," end of quote. Why that is significant, I don't know, but I'm not going to question.
Yeah, it's a chick thing.
Farrow said she and Campbell were both guests at the home of South African President Nelson Mandela, where Taylor was also visiting. She said Campbell described in detail a middle-of-the-night visit from two of Taylor's men. She said during the night, some men had knocked at her door, and she, half asleep, had opened the door, and it was representatives of President Charles Taylor, and that they had given her a huge diamond, said Mia Farrow to ABC News. We were like, oh my gosh. Prosecutors say the event is significant because it directly links Taylor to such uncut diamonds. One of the allegations in the case is that Taylor was in South Africa at the time to buy weapons for the Sierra Leone rebels with blood diamonds. These diamond mines. So it's an ugly allegation. If Naomi Campbell did not get a blood diamond and I don't know. The thing that bothers me, what the hell is Charles Taylor doing at Nelson Mandela's house? And what is up with Nelson Mandela anyway, okay? And I recognize that he was a longtime rebel. He was in prison for many years. There's no love lost between him and the political establishment of South Africa. He's got a lot, you know, I bet you there's a whole lot of debts that he's calling in down there, man. I bet you he's got a lot of people on his shopping list. And I don't know if he's going to live long enough. So I don't doubt that he's pissed off, and I don't blame him, you know. Hanging out with Charles Taylor probably ain't exactly the social move of the season. Be that as it may, there's Naomi Campbell and even Mia Farrow, and their guests at the home of President Mandela. Now all of a sudden comes some guy, maybe Charles Taylor saw Naomi Campbell in a commercial, maybe he saw her at dinner, he thinks she's all this, he brings two guys to her, they've got this diamond, they lay it on her, boom, right? It ain't exactly like the woman was, looking out looking for it. Now, in the interim, if she found out what it was and she found out who he was, but then again, she's a model, so maybe not, huh?
What's that supposed to mean? She's too dumb?
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. So that's the story of Naomi Campbell, Charles Taylor, Nelson Mandela, Mia Farrow, blood diamonds, and Bud's, you know, morning bowel movement. Coming up, schools say, don't take your kids to work for take your kids to work day. Why? We don't know. We'll find out. 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhenryshow.com, and our Twitter site, twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. The world famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. With me is Robert Green. Bob, you are a man of means.
Well, please don't make it sound like I'm, you know, a rich guy or something, but yeah, I've done well.
All right, but the thing I wanted to ask you is buying diamonds. Now, I know that you bought for a lady friend, I don't know what it was, a 3-carat?
Yeah, let me explain to you about a 3-carat diamond for Vicky, who is one of our, is a young lady that I've been seeing.
Well, you're going to say she was one of your checkers, right?
Well, I didn't want to. One of the things that I wish that you had not said is that I'm dating a checker at one of my stores. We own 25 stores in the Southeast.
I apologize, but you had not indicated.
You're right. I had not indicated. But you heard me hesitate when I said, Vicky, she's one of our, and then I stopped. And that I was hoping would have tipped you off that I've decided I don't want to say she's one of our checkers.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Well, I've been listening to you the last two nights, Phil, laying into your staff about being more alert. I would say you weren't very alert.
Okay, Bob, fair enough. That's not very nice either, okay?
Well, you brought it. You just said to your audience that I'm going out with a checker in our Buena Park store. All right? I'm worth $44 million, and you just said to your audience you have exposed the fact that I date a woman. I would rather not go into this.
He said he dates a woman.
Okay.
What did he say?
It's nothing. Here's what I want to say, okay?
What did he say?
He made a joke because he heard you say you date a woman, and he thought, ha-ha, you date a woman.
And the inference is homosexuality? Is that what that is?
Bob, don't pay any attention to him, all right?
No, I just want to know what the inference is.
I suppose so.
I would hope you'd keep better control of your staff. The point that I was making with you before, 1-carat diamond is around $5,000. So I spent $20,000 on this ring that I gave her. Not that it is a something that I regret. I do not regret it. I'm very fortunate in that I had the money to spend. $20,000, 1 carat is worth $5,000. So how many carats did I give her?
You gave her a 4-carat diamond.
There you go. With a Tiffany setting. And so she liked it, and the fact that it came from a place in Liberia or Sierra Leone is secondary.
You didn't tell me it was one of those.
That's why I'm on your program.
Okay, so it was technically a blood diamond.
But let me explain to you what a blood diamond is and to your audience. If the man that mined that diamond is now dead, if he'd had his legs cut off, or his head was cut off, or everything was cut off, and I'm not trying to be smart, Phil.
Let's hope not, Bob, because that's a horrible, horrible fate that awaited a lot of those men.
Right, I understand. I understand. I think you've made your point. I'd like to make my point now, if I could.
Yes.
Am I supposed to not buy the diamond? Because he's already gotten his legs chopped off, and he's been beaten to a pulp. Maybe the mine collapsed, and he's laying under tons and tons of coal and rock. Does that mean the diamonds just sit there and until they're worthless? Is that what that means?
It's not a rhetorical question.
No, it's not a rhetorical question.
No, of course not. I guess someone still buys them.
And that's what I did. So when you say that I bought a 4-carat diamond for Vicky, yes, I did. When you say that I bought a 4-carat diamond for Vicky, that was a blood diamond, yes, it was. And if you want to, by the way, Vicky is almost Michelle Bachmann's twin. So we're talking about a very attractive woman.
Okay.
What does okay mean? I caught that. What does that mean?
Nothing, Bob. I've only got 30 seconds.
All right. She's a very attractive woman, and she's worth it. I gave her a blood diamond. I'm sorry that those men died, but I can't bring them back to life. The diamond is going to sit there Someone's going to buy it. I did. And I hope that by Vicky wearing it, whether or not she were still together in a year, I don't know. And the way things have been going on your broadcast and my mood tonight, I hope we're not. I hope we're still together, and I hope it brings some solace to that man where he is. If he's dead, he's in heaven, even though he's not a Christian.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
UC Davis. You know, one of my sons graduated, Alex graduated from UC Davis. It's a great school, University of California at Davis. It is noted for its agricultural school. It is noted as well for its school of vitology, I guess, is
that like Pearl Jam?
Not Pearl Jam. I don't know, whatever it is, the study of making wine, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So you can get a degree at UC Davis in the art, in the craft, in the science of winemaking. And it also has a great veterinary school. It has a phenomenal veterinary school. And for years and years and years here in California, you know, if someone wants to go to school to become a veterinarian, one of the best schools they can go to is University of California, Davis. And it also so happens it's a good thing they got a great veterinary school because they have at that school perhaps a significant percentage, maybe not significant, of sociopaths who torture animals. Apparently, two students at the University of California, Davis, thought it was funny to torture two hamsters. And they then posted the video on YouTube. Now, they were caught. And one of the hamsters was saved. It was nursed back to health by students and veterinarians at the UC Davis Veterinary Medical Teaching Hospital. One of the animals died. Now, these two guys, one of whom is a guy by the name of Henry Nguyen and the other is Josu Melendez, were taken into custody on Wednesday. I'm always fascinated by these stories because, Enology? Enology is winemaking. Thanks, Jason. That's what they have a school of that.
What is?
Winemaking.
What's that?
What do you mean, what's that? What was I just talking about?
You said vitology or something.
I didn't. You said vitology. I said vitology. You said Pearl Jam. I'm talking about winemaking.
Yeah, all right. And that's what they have there.
Yeah.
All right, so what did do hamsters make it, or what do they have?
Do hamsters make... Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you were all about wine and everything.
No, I just said that UC Davis has got all this stuff. One of them is, a winemaking thing. The other thing is veterinary medicine. Do hamsters make it?
I thought they ran on the grapes. I don't know. Yelling at me.
Yeah. You know how they walk on the grapes? Where the hamster was.
You two idiots thought I was talking about hamsters walking on grapes. I'm talking about two hamsters, bud, and you like animals, don't you?
Yeah.
They tortured these hamsters.
Who? The winemaker?
Oh, I'm going to kill somebody. I swear to God.
No, it's all right.
I don't know what you mean.
So in any event, they took these two guys into custody. Now, you got two guys that torture animals. Okay, fair enough. It happens in America. We have a large population. There's going to be a percentage of people who are psychopaths, sociopaths. It begins with animals and it progresses to human beings. These two guys, it's good that we capture them now because it's very likely with the, pathology of these two, they were sadistic, and you can easily begin to progress from the sadism being practiced on animals to human beings. It's not a big leap. 18, 19 years of age, little old to be torturing animals. Generally, that's done in the adolescent period. And by the time you're the ages of these two guys, you've moved on up to the big leagues. You're now killing human beings. But these guys are a little bit behind the ball. That's understood. You know, maybe they didn't eat their Wheaties, whatever. Now, sociopaths, of course, if you were to do what we all would like to do to these guys, which is to beat them up, right? I'd like to beat them up. I'm sure you would, too. I'd like to beat them so bad that, you can take a break and sit in a chair and just watch them crawl along the floor and then get back up and start kicking them some more, right? That's what I'd like to do. But I know, because they're sociopathic, the only thing that they would be thinking would be, this guy is grabbing the power from me. He's trying to take my power away. He wouldn't understand that we're mad because they tortured animals. They wouldn't learn any lesson. They're incapable of that. Now, but here's the part that I don't get. This is, I'm never going to be able to get this. And this is the most bedeviling thing about psychopaths and sociopaths and people who are sadists. If they're about power, which they are, if they're about getting over on people and controlling people and controlling life, that's really what they're about, controlling life, because they have no control over their own lives. They can't feel anything, so they don't get what's happening around them. They have to slow it all down and they have to control it, even if it means killing someone to do it. But if they're about that, then how come they put it on YouTube and then the cops are going to come and get them, see?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What?
Forget it, bud. I'm not going to explain it to you, okay?
Yeah, in other words, how come they put it on YouTube? They know the police are going to get them then.
Exactly. See, we know that sociopaths and psychopaths, they know what's right. They know what's wrong. It's not like they don't know. They're not legally insane. Legal insanity is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. That's how we know someone is insane for the purposes of the law. You know, medical psychiatrists, they have their definitions, and that's fine. But when we talk about the law, the legal definition of insanity is an individual who did not know what they were doing at the time was wrong. They really didn't know. It was illegal. It was wrong. It was immoral. They got no concept. So we know they're insane. But psychopaths are not that way. They know. They know full well that what they're doing is illegal, that what they're doing is considered wrong, that what they're doing could get them in trouble, that what they're doing could piss people off. They know all of that. But they go ahead and they do it. And not only do they do it, then they put it on YouTube. Now, what is that? Is it dumb? Or is it something more, frankly, more fascinating? Is it they have such high opinions of themselves that they could put that stuff on YouTube and somehow get away with it?
Yeah, man, that's what I think it is.
Why?
Because, what's the guy? Charles Manson? He never thought he'd get caught. And the other guy, Ted Bundy, he never thought he'd get caught either.
Well, yeah, but those guys weren't on YouTube or anything.
Yeah, but Ted Bundy, man, that he's like on a hotline and everything. He's talking to people and everything. And he never thought he'd get caught.
I'll tell you, the other guy that I think of is John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
John Wayne Gacy, that guy's burying bodies under his house, and you can smell it for blocks around. And he's all, hey, how you doing, Bob? See you over at the barbecue. Yeah, he thought that it was no big deal, that they'd never catch him. And they say there's two kinds of psychopaths. There's the sadists. There's the disorganized and organized. The disorganized are like that guy Soul in Cleveland. You remember that guy that strangled those women?
Yeah.
And did you see the kisser on that guy? He looked like about 50 yards of crazy. That cat is disorganized. He's got a whole jacked up life. He's killing. It's almost like he's a sloppy vampire, just kills bodies and leaves them there. It's the difference between maybe Count Dracula and just one of the people with the rage virus, you know. And the same thing with these psychopaths. Some of them are organized, some are disorganized. Now, these two jackasses are being held on a $20,000 bail. Let me see. Yolo County jail officials said Melendez was being held. Nguyen was still in the process of being booked late Wednesday. Police say the video posting led to the investigation of the two students. Of course it would. I just think that's insane, man. And I don't ever want to see that video. It's really weird. I actually watched the video of Nick Berg being beheaded.
Oh, man, you're a liar.
No, I did. I actually did. I watched the beheading of a man. I watched it, and I still remember it, and it was horrible. But I got to tell you, and I don't know why this is, I could never watch a video of hamsters being tortured. What is that?
I don't know, man. That's weird. Why? You know, talk about a hamster, man. You talk about a man get a head cut off?
Yeah. That poor kid, that Nick Berg kid, that scum in Iraq. You remember that guy? Thank God we killed that bastard.
That Al-Zakari guy.
Exactly. We killed him, man. They dropped a bunker buster on his ass. But they, you remember when they videotaped that poor boy and they put it on the internet, and I watched this thing. And it was not pleasant, obviously. But I got to, I don't know why this is, but I would rather look at that again than see a video of a hamster being tortured. Now, what the hell is that? You know?
Must mean that you like little creatures and everything.
Yeah, like you're like a good man.
How does that make me a good man?
Because you don't want to see like a little hamster?
What does that make me a good man that I don't want to see a hamster get tortured, but I watch a guy getting his head cut off again? How does it make me good?
All right, then you're a bad man.
Good. Okay, I'll accept that.
What are you talking about, man? Nobody wants to see a hamster.
Well, nobody wants to see a hamster get tortured. I understand it. But what the hell is it? What is the dynamic that I would rather see the Nick Berg beheading video again than look at this hamster get tortured? What is that about? What is that about? I've thought about it, and I think there's only one way of answering that. Human beings have control over their emotional life, and they know what's happening to them. They understand on some level. And there's some solace in that for me, in that I think that a human, even in at the most extreme point of torture or death, can comfort themselves or somehow put something into perspective. They have control over what's happening on some level. I mean, it may not be much, whereas an animal or a little child doesn't. They don't get it. They're blindsided by it. It's meaningless to them. And to me, that's you know, cruel. What are you doing?
I don't know.
Oh, look at, he's bawling now.
Yeah, man. What are you, you crying about it?
What are you talking about, a hamster? If I could bring it up.
Oh, will you knock it off?
Don't give it a hamster.
You did.
Yeah, and you were all sitting there not giving a crap about it. The hamster's fine, bud.
Yeah, but one died, didn't it?
One died, yeah, but the other hamster's okay, okay? Take it easy, God. Joe Biden opens up about the, quote, big effing deal incident. You remember that? You don't? Neither do I. In fact, I think we all forgot about it. But the press corps in Washington, oh, they're just all a Twitter about it. Or a tweeter. All right, 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Hendry show. Be back.
Famous Bill Hendry Show.
Go over to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. That's where you not only can watch live video and listen to live audio of our show each and every night, you can also have a backstage pass to our archives. It is an extensive and big and, you know, lengthy archive of radio material from our show going back 13, 14 years, various generations of the Phil Hendry Show. We have downloads. We eventually are going to turn everything into a download. And just a technical point for my very good internet geek friends. I don't know how to break the news to you, but there was a time when material wasn't downloadable. Now, we've had our website, this particular platform, if you will, for, you know, since 1999, thereabouts. And way, way back in 1999, download was, what's that? For the most part. I mean, I'm talking about mass media knowledge and people's capability. And we were putting shows into our archive then. We were putting shows into Windows Media, Real Player, into our archive in 1999. So we have material that goes back to 1999. So when you say to me, and I get a lot of mail from people, God, you can't download. Well, yeah, you can't download it, man. Same reason why Christopher Columbus didn't fly to America in a Learjet. He ain't gonna have one. Yes, we're going to take that material and we will make it into a downloadable product for you. We have to go back. We have to convert it. There's, you know, it's a thing. You know, it's all good, but you know, we got to do it. And I'm not, as they say in the South, I'm not fussing at anybody.
You say that in the South, huh?
Yeah, thank God. And I'm just saying that's it's just kind of funny. That's all. It's funny to me how people react. The show that we do now, you can download every ding-dang one of them, Jim. Do you want to download our videos? Well, it's a huge, huge, huge file. And so what we do is we make the five-day video archive available. And then after that, we get rid of them because the audio is there. We're not exactly in the business of doing a TV show, but we do have our video. And it is a very good video to watch because this radio show, unlike all other radio shows, is actually interesting to watch. Not just me going nuts, but me actually performing the show. In fact, in just a couple of seconds, those of you watching the video, you will see another aspect of how we perform our show. But having said all of that, the video, you're not going to download it. It's a huge file, and we don't keep it in the archives for very long because it's a huge file. But we do make it available for 5 days. The audio is downloadable, the links, all of these things. You know, we moved from, how do I say this delicately? We've had our website with a lot of different people. We had it with one company, we've got it with another company, we had it on this platform, we moved the platform here. This is what happens, you know. And if there's one thing, we got a great webmaster now by the name of Greg Waugh. I love Greg. But if there's one thing that I've learned about the internet business and the website business, one of the biggest scams going are these web administrators. Let me tell you what. Scam. Oh, my God. Those cats, that's a license to print money. Oh, sure. They're going to tell you everything they're going to do for you, man. I got news for you, man. Uh-uh. And of course, they protect the what they're doing like it's the king's crap. You know, they're just they don't break with too much information because if they do, hell, you might actually do it yourself and you wouldn't need them now, would you? But our website is the very first website to extensively archive whole radio shows. You have to understand this, guys. Whole radio shows. We're not just archiving bits. We're not just putting 2 minutes here and 3 minutes there. Whole hours. That's to my knowledge, if it's ever been done before us, it's been done by very few people. Very few. Most radio shows, you don't want to listen to. What do you need to hear the whole show for? You're going to go back and listen to the Rush Limbaugh archive? Why? Listen to him talking about what, 1988, how much he hates Teddy Kennedy? What? Our show is episodic. Our show is something that lasts. And so people want the entire product, and so we've had to make it available in our archive. Now, because it was one of the first of its kind to do that, I was dealing with people, web administrators. They didn't have a clue. I don't think these guys knew how to wipe in the morning, let alone actually archive a whole radio show. Believe me when I tell you. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. We've had to fix links. We've had to take down links that were broken. We've had to find material in there because these jackasses couldn't find their ass with both hands, some of them. And I mean, it's been a long process. We now have a redesigned site and a fantastic web administrator, Greg Waugh, Alex Cohen, all kinds of guys that help us out, that are responsive to our subscribers. Customer service is better than it's ever been. I respond to every single email that I get by way of the website. So everybody who is a subscriber to our website and everybody who emails gets a response from me. We are posting show logs every day thanks to Pauly, Big Pauly the Machine Dentino of Jersey. This guy is a psycho. He's a hitman for the mafia. And when he is not out killing people and cutting them up, he is actually helping us with our website, our archiving, and our logs. It's fantastic. This is great. He's a member of the DeCavalcanti crime family in North Jersey. I'm joking, Paulie. I hope I'm not getting you in trouble. So when he isn't sawing people up, they call him the Iceman. Then he's there. When he's not sawing somebody up, he's there making show logs for our website.
You guys are psycho.
Absolutely. So he's fantastic. And we have our news feed. You can check in on our news feed. We have, we're going to have our merchandise starting up very soon, starting with CDs, best of CDs. And again, photographs that I'm constantly posting on our news feed of what the hell it is I'm doing during the day, El Pacifico, all kinds of different shots. So be a BSP-er, and brother, you're all that, and more than you can possibly think of. You are a member of a fast-growing family. You're almost like a Marine. You're not. The Marines are the Marines, but you're part of the Phil Hendry family, one of the few, the proud, the BSPers. So check it out, and it's far, far more worthy than staring at Gordon Brown as I'm doing right now with that jaw of his that kind of goes, you know. What is it with him?
I don't know. It looks like his jaw came unhinged.
In that stupid debate. All right, Phil Henry Show. Pittsburgh fans turn on Ben Roethlisberger. Very quick note before we say goodnight. Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback Ben Roethlisberger may have escaped criminal charges in the sex assault scandal stemming from a night of drinking in Georgia. But in the court of public opinion, they think he's scum. Everybody has an opinion, said Marcia Feinberg, owner of the Mike Feinberg Company, a novelty store in Pittsburgh that sells Steelers merchandise. She's Marcia. The company's called Mike. I guess somebody's car, maybe the brakes were fooled with. In any event, she said, I've never had anyone defend him. They all agree he needs some kind of punishment, she said. So Ben Roethlisberger, the Pittsburgh fans are turning on his ass. That's too bad. We have a little bit of audio here. This is from, I think these are some Roethlisberger fans who are just chit-chatting and chin-wagging. There ain't a lot of time, but let's just listen to a little bit of it.
The league doesn't like it. Right. Ownership doesn't like it. The head coach doesn't like it as a head coach. You're supposed to help the guy. Now it's time to help him, not get rid of him.
Oh, that's Herman Edwards.
In my opinion.
We don't care, Herman.
Phil Henry.
We don't care, Herman.